So see the good in it. You got to see the goal in it. You got to see the goal in it. Frustration is a paradox. Okay? Frustration is a paradox. Frustration breaks you down in order to build you up. Frustration makes you weak. When you get frustrated, you're at a vulnerable point. When you get frustrated, you're emotionally in a place that's not good. When you get frustrated, the devil can take you somewhere where you don't need to be. But frustration can come as a thing that will help you to grow stronger as you learn how to deal with it successfully. The paradox of frustration. The good and the bad that work together in the frustration.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Desert of Frustration.
And to make it so bad, I forgot my glasses in the car. I had to go all the way back to my car and get my glasses. You're talking about somebody who was frustrated. You know, and then I began to think, these folk don't even have a parking lot. They don't have a parking lot. And the place is packed. And then I thought about, if you think about most black churches in the city of Pittsburgh, I'm saying not all, but most, don't even have a parking lot. Or they got a parking lot about as big as this right here. Right? I'm going to tell y'all something, Bethany. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you what the real deal is. Y'all been spoiled. Y'all been spoiled. We got two parking lots. Two big parking lots. I'm just telling it like it is. Right? So I don't want to hear anybody say, come on, I'm not coming anymore because there's no parking. All right, you'll find, you know, the people at these other churches, they find parking places. They find them. We're just spoiled. I'm spoiled. You know, I can pull right up here by the trash can in the back. and get out of the car, and I maybe walk two steps, and I'm inside the building. Hey, Russell, what's going to happen to my spot, man? I'm not concerned about these folk. What? Circumstances. Man, we could get frustrated by circumstances. So I would hope and pray that as we are dealing with some inconveniences in the upcoming months, that we would not allow it to cause the frustration to cause us to react negatively. How can we benefit? How can we benefit from frustration? Three things, and I'm going to get into the scripture in a second. Three things. How to benefit from frustration. You got to see the good in it. You got to see the goal in it. And you got to see God in it. See the good in it. You got to see the good in it. Frustration shows that you are deeply connected with what you're doing. That's a good thing. When you get frustrated about something, it generally, for the most part, it means that you are connected with what it is that you're doing. And not only that, but you have a passion about it. And you know, when you put your heart into something and you are connected with it, and then it don't go the way that you would like to see it, you get frustrated. And so that's the good in frustration. It's letting me know, for the most part, that I'm passionate about the thing that I'm getting frustrated about. You know, now don't be one of them people who just get frustrated about anything, right? But when you get frustrated about something, let it be something that you are passionate about. You know, I think of Martin Luther King. You know, he got frustrated with what was happening to blacks in the South. And what did he do? He channeled his energy in a positive way to make a change. So see the good in it. You got to see the goal in it. You got to see the goal in it. Frustration is a paradox. Okay? Frustration is a paradox. Frustration breaks you down in order to build you up. Frustration makes you weak. When you get frustrated, you're at a vulnerable point. When you get frustrated, you're emotionally in a place that's not good. When you get frustrated, the devil can take you somewhere where you don't need to be. But frustration can come as a thing that will help you to grow stronger as you learn how to deal with it successfully. The paradox of frustration, the good and the bad that work together in the frustration. And then you got to see God in it. You got to see God in it. That whenever you deal with your frustration, God is behind the scene working all things together for good. He's working all things together for good. God is using this frustration in your life to work out some good, to get you to a certain point. Yeah, I think about the illustration I've shared before about the man who was on a desert island, and he had a fire, and he used that fire to warm him, keep him warm, and to cook his food. And he was waiting for somebody to come rescue him, and he had waited for a long time. And one day, the wind came and rain came and put out his fire. And he began to shake his fist at God and said, "The only thing I had here was this fire to keep me warm and to cook my food, and you took it away from me." And the next day, some people came and rescued him. And he couldn't figure it out. He said, "Well, how did you know I was here to come rescue me?" And they said, "We saw your smoke signals the day before." And so he thought that this was something that was bad. It was something that was frustrating him, but it turned out to the good. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that this is how God works. God can turn the things that frustrate you into something that accomplishes his will, his plan, and his purpose in your life. So as we look at the Apostle Paul and we see God with us in the desert, the Father with us in the desert, let me share with you four things and I'm done. Four things and I'm done. The first thing that I want to share is that the Father will give us his grace to deal with our frustrations. Look at verse 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Father, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." Now, it says Paul prayed thrice. The word thrice means three times. Paul, as I've said, didn't say, "Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa, brother and sister, and Lord, take this thorn away." That's not what he... When it says that he prayed thrice, you know, the indication is that he fell on his face before God. And some commentators even said that with fasting, that Paul was praying and fasting that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. And so Paul, the first time, he got finished praying with all his heart. He pouring out his heart like Jesus, almost to the point where he was sweating drops of blood. And then he looked back, and it was still there. "Well, let me try this one more time." And he fell on his face before God. He cried out with all of his heart unto the Lord for God to remove the thorn in the flesh. He looked back, and it was still there. A third time, he prays, cries out to God, looks back, still there. And after that, God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. What was he telling Paul? He was telling him that, Paul, you already have everything you need to deal with this thorn in the flesh. But Lord, if you remove the thorn, I'll write a lot of books in the New Testament. Lord, if you remove this thorn in the flesh, I'll travel all over Europe and preach the gospel. Lord, if you remove this thorn in the flesh, that I'll suffer persecution for you. God said, well, you're going to do all that anyways, and I'm going to keep the thorn right here. His thorn in the flesh. God had given him everything that he needed to deal with it. And God has given you everything you need to deal with your frustration. He's given you his word. He's given you his spirit. He's given you prayer. He's given you fellowship in the body of Christ. Everything that you need to deal with what your frustration is, God has given you. But see, you know, sometimes we just want to whine and we're going to complain. And we don't want to take advantage of God's resources. And I would imagine sometimes when we're dealing with our frustration, we don't even want to come to God. You know what I'm saying? We don't even want to come. You know how it is when, you know, you do something wrong, right? And like the person that's with you, they know that you did something that was wrong. You know that you did something wrong. And you don't even want to look at them, right? And so, you know, here you are frustrated, and you don't even want to pray to God because you know what God is going to say. My grace is sufficient for you. I've given you everything. You're like, should I pray? Should I not pray? You know, we're trying to figure out because we already know what God is going to tell us, that my grace is sufficient. So sometimes we don't even pray because we already know what God is going to say. So we need to realize God has given us everything we need to deal with our frustration. That's amazing to me because, you know, the world doesn't have that. The unsaved individual doesn't have that. But you have it. God's grace is sufficient for you. The next thing he says here, we should boast or we should glory in our frustrations. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What in the world are you talking about? Glory in your infirmities. Notice he didn't say, I'm not going to glory because of my infirmities. But he said, I'm going to glory in the midst of my infirmities. I'm going to continue. And you know what that word glory means? Oh, hallelujah. It means to boast. It means to boast. He said, in the midst of my infirmities, I'm still going to continue to boast. Well, what are you going to boast about? I'm going to boast about my God. I'm going to tell people what a great God I got. But look at you, man. You got a thorn in the flesh. But yeah, God is still great. That has not affected the greatness of God. See, the problem is that God is only big as the problem that we have, right? If we don't have a problem, we got a big God, right? Oh, God is so good. God blesses me. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. I got food in my closet, clothes on my back, gas in my car. I got a great God. And then something happens, right? And God gets real small now, right? God shrinks, right? What happened to all that bragging that you was doing? when you had it good, what happened to all the bragging that you was doing when things were going well? That's still the same God. The only thing that changed is you. I like what I heard Bo Ford say one time. He said, we need to stop telling God about our problems and start telling our problems about our God. Tell our problems how big our God is. So in the midst of it, Paul said, in the midst of this frustration, I'm going to boast. I'm going to continue to brag on my God. How about you? When you get frustrated, come on now, be honest. Be honest with me. When you get frustrated, do you brag on God? Do you boast on God? You know, let's be honest, right? You know, we're here today. I'm trying to help somebody out, right? Maybe if I don't help you out, the person that's going to listen to this CD or the person that's going to hear this on the radio. But I'm hoping that you will be helped out today, that you can still, in the midst of your frustration, that your God hasn't changed. Your God is still big. The psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, let's make God big. Let's brag about how great a God that we have. You know, the thing that I like and is all throughout this stewardship campaign, when things got frustrating and, you know, I mean, I'll say, I don't know if you realize this, but in April of 2016, there was about five of us that went down to the city and met and shared with them what we were going to do. Now, this is April 2016, April 2017, November 2017, and we just now got a building permit. Now, you tell me that's not frustrating, right? But in the midst of it, we still kept praying. We still kept saying, God, we want you to be glorified. Lord, we want this to be done in your time. God, we want you to be in control of this situation. And God is in control. And God does things in his time. And nobody can rush God. Nobody can force God. He knows what the plan is. He knows what he wants to do. And so in the midst of it, when you're there and it seems like there's no progress that's being made, keep on bragging on your God. Keep on boasting about this great God that you have. Don't make God big when things are good and small when things are bad. Make God big all the time. Let God be magnified. We should accept our frustrations. We should accept our frustrations. Look what he says here. He says, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities. This is this word pleasure, you know what the Greek word means? It means I approve or welcome my frustrations. I approve or I welcome my frustrations. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, not my irresponsibilities, not in my negligence, but I welcome my frustrations. I accept them. Nothing you can do about them, right? You know, I go back to, you know, the thing that I put up a couple weeks ago. You know, Lord, help me to let you do the things that you do. I know I'm not quoting this right. And help me do the things that I need to do, and let me know the wisdom, give me the wisdom to know the difference. You know, Lord, let me do what I'm supposed to do. Lord, you do your thing. And then let me know when it's my responsibility to do something and when it's your responsibility, right? But when I've done all that I can, then let me welcome my infirmity, because there's nothing else I can do. What else can I do except get frustrated, get angry, and get, you know, let my blood pressure go up. You know, sickness starts to come into my body, right? Because I'm all frustrated and angry and upset because of my frustrations. Paul said, I welcome them. He said, yeah. Who is it? Frustration. Well, come on in. Come on in, come on in. He said, I welcome them. When frustration knocks at the door, come on in. You know, I'm have a seat. Let's talk. Look, I'm dealing with you the best way I can. And I'm not going to let you get the best of me. You know, I'm going to do my responsibility. God's going to do his thing. And you know what? We're going to let the chips fall where they may. Until God sees fit to do something different, have a seat with your bad self. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, now let me let you know now, you're not going to be here forever. You know, because soon as, you know, God gets ready, you know, well, I mean, let me take that back now, because Paul, God didn't remove his thorn in the flesh. Paul welcomed it, and God kept it there. So So here maybe the conversation needs to be, well, you know what? Maybe I just need to get used to you. I just need to get used to you. But you know what? You're not taking me down. You if you think you're going to take me down, now you need to go somewhere else with that. Don't bring that stuff up in here. Your mother ever tell you, look, boy, don't bring that mess in here. you leave that out in the street. So, you know what I mean, I'm just letting you know, don't bring any mess in here because I know how to deal with you. And then finally, we should make our frustration work on our behalf. Look what Paul said. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, back to that paradox again, right? Back to that paradox. You got to be taken down before you can be built up. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Y'all might have heard this before. So some of y'all need to write this down. I wish I'd have put it up on the screen. And I'm going to say it slow enough so that you can write it down. All right? And what I'm getting ready to say, you probably heard before. But I just stopped by Bethany Baptist Church to remind you this morning of three things that you can do. First of all, turn your lemon into what? Lemonade. All right, you already knew that. All right? Turn your test into a what? There you go. All right. I didn't even have to put this up there. And finally, turn your mess into a message. Man, y'all sharp. Y'all sharp. Right? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Turn your lemon into lemonade. Turn your test into a testimony. And turn your mess into a message. Amen. That's what Paul's saying here. We should make our frustrations work on our behalf. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Turn that lemon into lemonade, that test into a testimony, and that mess into a message. It is said of one famous composer who had a rebellious son. And his son would come in late every night while his dad and mom were asleep in bed. And he would go to the piano and he would play a simple scale very loudly. He would play this scale loud so that it would ring throughout the whole house and wake up his mom and dad. And he would play the whole scale, but he would not hit the final note. The father would lay on his bed and seethe with anger and frustration. He would writhe upon his bed. And finally, he got to the point where he was so frustrated that he would get up and he would go down and he would hit the final note. And then he would go back to bed and sleep for the rest of the night. I'm saying this morning that Satan is playing a scale on your life. And you are writhing and seething in bed because of your frustration. And you are so frustrated because Satan has got you gripped and Satan has left that last note in your life unhit. And you have the opportunity to do what Paul did and go back and hit that last note, so that you can go and lay down.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of The Desert of Unanswered Prayers. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Frustration, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Frustration. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Frustration, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.